Hello. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best right here on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we bring you information about cutting-edge therapies in natural medicine today. And today, our guest is Dr. Howard Robbins. Dr. Robbins has been a leader in the practice of podiatric medicine since 1973 and was director of foot surgery at two New York hospitals. He was a professor of preventive sports medicine and exercise physiology for over 10 years and the chair of basic sciences and exercise at Edison State College in New Jersey. After focusing on conventional Western medicine and surgery for many years, Dr. Robbins began his studies in natural medical practices. He became an international expert on natural healing and nutrition, as well as specializing in biooxidative therapies, which will be our topic today. He's a leader in intravenous ozone therapy here in the USA and is the only physician with extensive experience in both major forms of ozone therapy, which we'll review. And he opened the first oxygen bar in the USA, known as the Oxygen Station. Dr. Robbins has appeared on several hundred radio shows and dozens of TV shows worldwide for the past 30 years, and is also the co-author of two books with Gary Null. And, of course, this is Gary Null's station right here on PRN. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Robbins.
Thank you for having me here, Ellen. Am I coming across clearly?
Yep, we're hearing you loud and clear.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, you know, it was interesting that just this weekend you and I were both lecturing at a major health expo right here on Long Island, the Naval Expo, which really got quite a big crowd. That was an exciting event.
Yeah, actually, it was an amazing, exciting event. I didn't expect, not knowing what would happen after this horrible storm we all went through, how many people were going to show up. I guess everybody just needed a place to get away from all the unhealthy that was going on everywhere, even in their home, and to come in and be with us. And my rooms were packed. It was just a very exciting time, and a lot of people got a lot of healthy information.
That's true. It was great. And I know that's what you do all the time, is take care of people with natural medicine and also let people know, in particular, about our topic today, which is oxygen therapy.
Yes. Well, by the way, I just wanted to say I was that I blame all of this on Gary Null, because I was, as you could tell from my what you read about me, I was a very traditional doctor to start with.
Well, let's use the word conventional, correct? You mean conventional?
Yeah. Conventional, and he turned me around and made me into what I am today in terms of alternative health care. He showed me the door, opened it, and led me down the path.
Well, what were some of the first things that you began to learn that questioned your belief in a strictly conventional approach? We don't want to throw out conventional medicine.
Not at
by
all.
Any means, but I think it's a reprioritization of looking at those therapeutics that have the best efficacy and the best safety record.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. But to answer your question, what actually started to happen after doing radio shows with Gary and patients coming in from those shows, I would say to them, well, I want to give you a prescription. I want to do foot surgery on you. And they said, Dr. Robbins, I'm not going to do foot surgery. You've got to help me some other way. I said, well, then, okay, I'll give you an injection of cortisone. And they go, Dr. Robbins, we don't use cortisone. I wouldn't let anybody do that to me. Well, then I'll give you a prescription for anti-inflammatories. Dr. Robbins, I don't take prescription medicine when there's natural medicine. I have to do that first. And I said, well, what do you want me to do for you then? And that put me on the quest of learning about natural medicine, homeopathy, herbs for healing, where all pharmaceutical medicine really came from, et cetera, vitamin mineral therapies and things like that. And then over the years, We developed, and once again with Gary's influence, an intravenous vitamin C and chelation therapy center. We added ozone therapy into the mix, and after 10 years of doing the drips and the ozone therapy, we realized that intramedical ozone therapy was a more important area. I had a unique experience with it compared to the rest of the United States and the doctors here, and in fact the rest of the world. And what I would offer to the listeners is to consider just this. What if there was a safe and effective and proven treatment for just about every disease you ever could imagine? And you'd all know about it, you would expect. And what if it had been successfully used for over 70 years all over the world? You would have heard about it. And what if there were hundreds and hundreds of medical papers, peer-reviewed medical studies written about it? You would have probably read about one of them or heard about them, you would have thought. And what if there were over 45,000 physicians performing it daily in hospitals and clinics in over 50 countries all around the world? You would have known about that, one would have expected, by this point in time. And what if people with AIDS and arthritis and herpes and rheumatoid arthritis and Lou Gehrig's disease and Lyme disease and multiple sclerosis. What if all these different illnesses and conditions had been treated by it successfully? Many of them diseases and conditions that nobody believes there's any hope for. You would have thought it would have made the media and we would have known about it. Well, guess what? It's true. There is such a thing. It has been used for all these years by all these doctors in all these countries doing exactly what I just said it can do. And we've been using it successfully here for over 22 years, but you haven't heard about it, possibly until this radio show, only because the media, the newspapers, the magazines, the medical journals, seem to want to block it out. And the question always arises, well, why would they want to do such a thing? And the answer is because they want to send their kids to college. They want to pay for food for their home.
Well, wait a minute. I have to stop you there because I think that's not always the case. There are certainly healthcare providers. For instance, let's say you. Before you were enlightened, don't forget, a lot of these physicians, because I want to stand up for them too, may not know any better. Just like you said, you were deeply entrenched in conventional medicine and what you thought you were doing to help people, and all your knowledge was about surgery and cortisone injections. So it wasn't that you wanted to send your kids to college, I don't think so. Of course, you do want to. Everybody does. But you really wanted to help your patients. You just didn't have this other knowledge yet.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But here's why the information is being repressed. And if you read any of the books written for people about it, not the medical book, textbooks on ozone, they all talk about why. And when you have a study, like we produced a study for CRPS, chronic regional pain syndrome, also called reflex sympathetic dystrophy. And we had a breakthrough in the treatment of this where no one in the world has been able to help it. We were able to help it. We put together a study and an article with the two case histories that we had, 23 references, medical references in it, and we couldn't get the RSD associations, and we couldn't get the medical journals that we sent it to publish. Now, why wouldn't they do that? And why wouldn't they publish something on how it gets rid of all bacterial infections or fungal infections? And the answer is because Big Pharma puts advertisements in every medical journal. They take pages and pages, and that's what actually funds medical journals. While you would like to think they'd be honest and ethical and moral and publish an article that would benefit the medical readership, the truth of the matter is they've got to worry about sending their kids to college, and how will their advertisers who are paying the way for this magazine, for this medical monthly medical journal, take the fact that here you're saying that maybe half their antibiotics aren't ever going to be needed. It's a serious issue, and that's what all the books discuss. That's what Gary himself has discussed, and he realizes that the FDA has rejected, knowing all about ozone, has rejected the use of ozone in this country. And why would they do so when, for example, in Germany in 1982, a doctor by the name of Jacobs did a study on the adverse reactions to ozone therapy, medical ozone therapy, which had been used in Germany following World War II. And they did a study on over 5.5 million, 5.5 million treatments performed on over almost 400,000 patients by over 200,000 therapists. Okay?
Those are astounding numbers.
Yes.
This is not where sometimes they say, okay, it's a study, but it's too small a sample.
No, okay, and the adverse reaction rate is amazing. Adverse reaction rate on all these treatments, on all these people, by these doctors, 0.00007. There's hundreds. Now, I know you follow medicine clearly. You can go and look up any medicine you want in the physician's desk reference, and you can go online to our National Library of Medicine, PubMed, and punch in and search any particular medicine you want, and you may find a half a dozen, a dozen studies that might have been done with it on its uses and benefits, maybe even a couple of dozen. And certainly on something like cortisone, because of all its adverse reactions, you might even find many dozen studies showing all its negative effects, not just its positive ones.
So in terms of something like cortisone, because many people have had that, let's say, like what you're talking about. I know people, somebody I'm thinking of now has herniated discs in her neck. And the doctor is saying there's only two treatments, which is either ongoing cortisone shots twice a month or eventually surgery for sure. But what about all the adverse effects of those therapies?
Well, that's the problem. And just to answer that two ways. One, there's hundreds of research articles on ozone therapy, as I pointed out earlier, that you can find, unfortunately, written in languages we can't read. However, our National Library of Medicine translates them now and again, and I actually have several hundred articles from our PubMed that I always bring to the shows when I do those workshops to show people that they actually do exist. And there's huge amounts of research done over the last 70 years on it that have been published around the world. And you go on to PubMed right now, our National Library of Medicine, and in search, type in intravenous ozone therapy, and you're going to get as many as 70 to 100 articles right off the bat on the abstracts. When you can get the complete article, you can click on one of the references at the bottom on ozone and get another one, and that's how they get cross-referenced. And you can wind up with very quickly a library of well over 100 ozone studies that have been done worldwide. Now, one of the interesting ones that you may find on there, I'm pretty certain you'll find it on there, is a study that was done in Canada just a few years ago. What led to this study was work that had been done in Europe on this particular issue over 10 years ago. And then Canada finally found out about it, and they were able to get this study going. And it was a study on herniated discs. And what they found was that they could inject ozone right where the disc was herniated. The gas would be injected very carefully right where the disc was herniated, and it helped get rid of the pain completely from the herniated discs. And we know that there's a therapy to treat a lot of different painful joint, muscle, and ligament conditions called prolotherapy. prolozone was developed, and that's the name that came from it, where you inject ozone into these areas, and it heals the tendons, the ligaments. You can actually repair cartilage with it. Stuff that we're told and taught in school can't be done. And it does it in a very safe way. So anyway, this study from Canada showed that, wow, it works. What they're claiming in Europe can help heal a herniated disc and at least stop the pain works. Then if you combine quality, gentle chiropractic care along with physical therapy, massage, and acupuncture, most of the time you'll release the spasms in the muscles that are causing the disc to herniate, put the body spinal structure back in proper alignment again, and then the disc can move back into place very gently and no longer be herniated. And this has been done successfully by chiropractors and osteopaths. Not all, because some of them are kind of rough, but the gentle ones anyway, along with those other healthcare practitioners. And there's been tremendous success in treating it without injections of cortisone and without surgery.
I guess one of the only drawbacks there is, of course, it's not going to be covered by health insurance, so that limits access for some people as well.
Well, you know, that's a very sad and unfortunate thing. Most alternative medicine, what we call alternative medicine in this country, has generally not been covered by medical insurance. They don't even want to cover traditional medical care today. I mean, it's all about making money and profit, and sometimes patients who even absolutely positively need MRIs can't even get an approval for one, sometimes for long periods of time, and which limits doctors in what they can and can't do without proper diagnosis. Bottom of it all is, the people are very often controlled by the insurance companies, because if you can't afford something easily out of your pocket and you're paying for insurance, sometimes hundreds and thousands of dollars a month for insurance today, for yourself and your family, what do? Now, interestingly enough, ozone therapy is an alternative, you know, what we call alternative medicine here. And yet United Healthcare and Oxford Healthcare reimburse my patients for the therapy. So
excellent. So how would you list that then as a treatment for whatever they have, or,
well,
you know?
Yeah, it's a good question. And here's how it works, because the most important thing always is to be moral, ethical, honorable, and thus legal. Okay? You don't want to do anything illegal. You don't want to do anything that's immoral or unethical. So they're on a bill that you send in for insurance. First of all, you need a procedure code. And the procedure code that's used is for an intravenous push or an intravenous drip.
Which it is.
Depending on how you're doing the ozone therapy.
Right.
And there's a code for that. Then there's a separate code for medicine. So, for example, if you're giving an intravenous antibiotic, you have to have a code for that particular antibiotic and then a code for how you're going to put it into the body. We only bill for putting it into the body because there is no code for ozone. So in essence, they're getting the medicine for free, and the insurance company is not going to pay for the medicine. They're going to pay for administrating it to the patient. Then you need a diagnosis. You need a reason for giving the medicine to the person. And there's where we sign everybody into one of 29 different research studies that we've been doing for quite a number of years now. And by doing it as part of research, it makes it doubly legal in New York, which is one of the only states it's legal to do ozone therapy in, because of Robert Atkins, who won the right for all of us to do it in 1993 in Supreme Court, and that decision was upheld in appeals. And then by doing it as part of research, that shows why I'm giving it to you, though you may have your reason for getting it. And then, at the same time, along with that, has to be a diagnosis. I have to have a reason for giving it to you. Perhaps it's a fungal infection. So You put in the diagnosis code for fungal infection, moral, ethical, legally, and honorably, and then you have the procedure code, and this is what they're paying on. And they're probably happy as hell that they're not paying. I mean, an IV antibiotic, for example, can cost $1,000 a treatment, and they may have to do one a day, such as in Lyme disease. Whereas ozone therapy, they're not paying for the medicine. They're just going to pay for the administration of it, and that's a small fraction of the total cost. So they're very happy to pay out to those patients.
Well, that is great information. We're going to go to just a little break right now. We're actually going to listen to the Natural Medicine Chest, and when we come back, we will be continuing our fascinating discussion about ozone therapy with really the leading professional who knows about it, and that is Dr. Howard Robbins. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss an herb we all know and love, cinnamon.
Ah, spicy, sweet smell of cinnamon. Everyone recognizes the familiar aroma of this common kitchen spice. But did you know that cinnamon is an exotic plant bark with a long history of medicinal use in many countries throughout the world? Cinnamon was listed as an herb with medicinal properties in Chinese literature as early as 2700 BC. It is described in the Chinese medical text, the Tang Materia Medica, written in 659 AD. Cinnamon also enjoys traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing art of India. It is mentioned in the Book of Moses and has been cultivated in Ceylon and Sri Lanka since 1200 AD, where much of the world's supply is still grown.
In Europe, cinnamon was regarded as a rare and precious spice. Many pharmaceutical substances, such as cough syrups and digestive tonics, contain cinnamon. It was also used as an incense and in perfumes. According to Chamberlain, writing in France in 1887, cinnamon possesses the greatest antiseptic properties. Cinnamon is gathered from the dried inner bark of the branches of a small tropical evergreen laurel tree. The bark is peeled off, and as the pieces are dried, they curl up into quills. These are the common cinnamon sticks that are used in herb teas and for baking.
In Chinese medicine, cinnamon is one of the most widely used warming herbs to aid in circulation and digestion. It is a common ingredient in small amounts in tea used for nausea during pregnancy. It is also used following delivery to decrease hemorrhage. Cinnamon raises vitality, warms and stimulates all the vital functions of the body, counteracts congestion, improves the digestive system, relieves abdominal spasms, and aids in peripheral circulation. The essential oils contained in cinnamon include eugenol, cinnamic aldehyde, methyl eugenol, tannins, and mannitol, which give cinnamon its sweet flavor. It also contains cinzenolin and cinzenolol, which are both known insecticides.
Try putting some liquid soap and cinnamon in a spray bottle and use on plants as an organic bug repellent. Cinnamon is also included in many medicinal recipes that are used for lice, scabies, and other skin parasites. Cinnamon has antifungal, antiviral, and bactericidal activities. It has been shown to suppress E. coli, Staphylococcus, and Candida albicans.
So, listeners, the next time you inhale that sweet, spicy aroma, remember there's more to cinnamon than meets the nose as you reach into your natural medicine chest.
Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can always contact us. We love to hear from you. You can let us know what topics you'd like to learn more about or ask your own personal questions by going to naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and we will be there and get back to you. Today, we have as our guest Dr. Howard Robbins. And by the way, Dr. Robbins does have a practice located in Manhattan, right across from Carnegie Hall in Midtown Manhattan, where he sees patients, and they come from 42 states and over 30 countries. And if you'd like to contact Dr. Robbins at his office, the number is 212-581-0101. Or if you'd like to call in with your question today, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, you can call us now at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Robbins.
Well, I'm so happy to be here, and thank you very much for the kind of show that you do. These are the shows that people need to listen to, not the junk that you find on other stations, and it can make a difference to people's lives to find this out.
It really can. Now, you talked about pain, and of course, that's a big one. You even talked about herniated discs, which is exactly what this person that I was speaking to yesterday is dealing with, and it sounds like we're going to look into, I know you're here in New York, and is Florida one of the states where people can get ozone therapy?
That's an interesting question, and I'll tell you why. Ready? This, you know, if you, all I do is research ozone now for many years, so I know a lot of what I call ozone history and trivia that you wouldn't normally know. But it goes like this. In 1885, the first published work on ozone in medicine was published by an MD by the name of Kenworthy from the Florida State Medical, he was the president of the Florida State Medical Association. 1885, okay, in Florida, published, meaning it was being used medically prior to that for him to want to write a monograph on it. In 1990, 105 years later, a doctor was put into jail in Florida for doing ozone therapy. So 105 years later, it's not acceptable in the state of Florida to do ozone therapy. And when you think about all the seniors that are living there on fixed and limited incomes that are having, because I know my mom's there, having the hardest time trying to find money to pay and the right insurance companies with donut holes, they call them, in the policies to pay for all their pharmaceutical medicines, natural medicine and ozone therapy, medical ozone therapy, could save them all this money, save them all this suffering, and it's not covered, not permitted, and Florida is one of the few states that are very, very much against ozone therapy. In fact, in Florida, in Miami, at one of the big hospitals there, and being in the ozone world, I get all this inside information. They tried to set up a clinic there in the hospital. The hospital was sold on it. They gave them a wing. The man.
Really, which hospital was that?
I'd rather not say. I don't want to cause trouble.
Okay.
But the reason I know this is because the man who was making the machines for them, for this ward, this whole floor that they gave them, was starting to make the machines, and he told me all about it because he's a friend of mine, and makes my machines for me. And at the same time, they had the doctors on staff ready that were ready to go and do all this, trained in all this. And then the state health department found out about it and killed it right there and then, and it never opened up. And that was just about 4 years ago. So Florida is one of the – in fact, there is no other state that's ever been tested in court other than New York, but there are other states where it is considered acceptable, such as Arizona and Nevada and California. I've trained people from North Dakota, Texas, Colorado, Puerto Rico. So there are other places where you can go and get it, and it's being accepted, meaning the authorities are not coming in and closing these people down for having done it. But it is not necessarily in the scope. You know, in all 50 states, what makes a therapy legal is that all the other doctors do it the same way.
Right, it's called standards of practice.
Exactly. And for the listeners, just so you should understand, if the way to treat a headache is to slap a person in the right cheek with your left hand, and one day you wake up and figure out, well, what would happen if I slap a person with my right hand in the left cheek? And would it help? And yes, it does. It gets rid of it faster. You're out of scope.
Well, let me interrupt you one minute there, Dr. Robbins, because we did ask for calls, and you can call in and ask Dr. Robbins your question by calling us at 888-874-4888, and we do have Bonnie on the line, Dr. Robbins. Bonnie, welcome to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Hello.
Hi,
how
Bonnie.
Are you?
Hi. Doctor, I have a question. I was taking Actonol, like Fosamax for osteoporosis for about 8 years. I stopped for about 4 years, and now my doctor wants to give me Boniva injection. What should I do?
Okay.
I want something natural. My T-score is minus 3.6, and in my neck it's minus 3.0. And in my spine, I guess, or whatever, it's minus 3.6.
Well, the answer for that is this. First of all, ozone won't help osteoporosis. I wish it would.
Okay.
That's one of the conditions and diseases that may not kill you, but it can't fix osteoporosis. It can help in the healing process because it has circulatory benefits. But it doesn't reverse osteoporosis. I'm not a big fan of those medications. In our practice, we've always recommended that people go on low-protein diets and exercise and take small amounts of calcium and magnesium supplementation, maybe 1,500 milligrams of each per day of calcium and maybe 500 milligrams of magnesium a day, because blood studies will show that your calcium levels in your blood are normal and only slightly elevated in your urine because you're getting rid of some of it and it's being drawn out of your bones into your blood. But what you need to do is reverse the process. You have to give your bones a reason to draw calcium back in, and the answer for that is aerobic exercise of varying types and weight training. Now, woman, you sound like you might be a little over 65. Maybe I'm wrong. But,
yes, you're right. I am 74, 73. I'll be 74.
So what you want to do is go to a gym so that you can learn to do it right. Get a personal trainer there to work with you with very, very gentle, light weights, because you're not looking to build up muscles like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're just looking to stimulate bone to want more more calcium in it, and learn to do gentle exercises that you'll do 7 days a week to keep that process going. Go for long walks every single day, morning and afternoon, and that'll stimulate the bones to draw more calcium back into it. Does that make sense?
Thank you for that answer. Thank you. And thank you, caller.
I forgot the name was...
Thank you, Bonnie. And we can take your call as well. If you'd like to call in, you can to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. The number is 888-874-4888. And today we have as our guest Dr. Howard Robbins, who's doing an excellent job explaining to us how ozone therapy can be helpful. And you know, Dr. Robbins, I was very impressed with your answer, because you even shared that something that ozone therapy isn't the first choice in terms of healing a specific illness, which is osteoporosis. But let's talk about all the things it is really useful for. And you have a big list here, like all viruses, herpes 1 and 2, hepatitis C, something that people may know as candida, Epstein-Barr virus. This is places where ozone therapy really shines.
Well, absolutely. Just as a very quick on the negative side, ozone won't work on any genetic disease. It won't make your brown eyes blue, brown. But it won't set a broken bone, but it can help in the healing process after your bone is set. Okay? It won't make up for the need for a surgery, but it'll help the surgery heal so fast the surgeons won't believe you got well that quickly. They just can't imagine how that could have happened. And that's where ozone comes in, because it has major circulatory benefits. And those circulatory benefits are very, very important to people who have peripheral neuropathy and poor circulation, such as diabetics. And it can get rid of all their neuropathic pain, all the chronic pain that they're in, the pins and needles, the numbness, all these horrible sensations they have to live with through their arms and legs and in their feet and hands. And ozone is amazing because of that, and we've been extremely successful in dealing with decubitus ulcers, diabetic ulcers, and diabetic and for that matter any form of gangrene. It helps open up the circulation, like chelation therapy, by melting down the calcified plaques, makes the red blood cells rounder, so they flow smoother and easier, and more flexible so they can slip through narrow, clogged, or hardened arteries better. So by getting rid of the adverse reactions to diabetes, it won't cure diabetes. There are actually a lot of natural ways that you might be able to do that, but it gets rid of all the problems for the most part, including diabetic retinopathy. That's been used very successfully on many eye problems, like I said diabetic retinopathy, macular degeneration, dry eye. So many different eye problems are improved with it. Glaucoma. Many patients, we've seen many patients who have come off glaucoma medication completely because their glaucoma is gone through the use of ozone therapy. And then you have other conditions that people are, how should I say it? They're almost ready to commit suicide over, because nothing has worked. They've tried everything. They've been everywhere. They've done all the pharmaceutical medicines and the conventional doctors. They've been to the alternative doctors who have had some benefits, but no success. Sometimes we all run into problems that we can't fix. And the answer then is not to stop doing the natural medicines that have been beneficial, but to add on to it with medical ozone therapy. And then we can get rid of things that the claims are you can't get rid of. That you can't get rid of herpes 1 and 2, that you can't get rid of shingles, which is now very common even among young people, that you can't get rid of... we've had patients even with measles that we've seen, ozone has gotten rid of measles, and there's even literature that shows that it'll do that. It helps in hair growth as one of its side effects, which is a pretty wonderful thing for some people. But it'll get rid of Lyme disease, particularly stage 4 chronic Lyme disease. When people have almost given up hope, the antibiotics don't work anymore, they can't take them anymore perhaps, this is where ozone comes in and saves the day consistently again and again and again. Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, is life-threatening. Everybody knows if you get it, you're going to die. Well, the good news about ozone is, at the very least, it will probably stop the disease's progression and save your life. And then the question is, based on how soon you came in to get care, how much of a reversal of all your symptoms will you get? Will you walk again? Not will you live, but will you walk again? That's the questions that, we can ask. You take... I can go on and on and on and on with all these different diseases that we've been known to
infect. Right, but I know you're talking about also that there is a known mechanism of action. Now, we're going to continue our discussion because the list of ailments that you're sharing with us ozone can be useful for is so long, and we're going to go into one of two of them in greater detail. But right now, we are going to go. You're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I want to tell you that our guest today is Dr. Howard Robbins, and his contact number is 212-581-0101. And we're going to go to a short break right here so you can hear about all the wonderful shows that you can hear right here on Gary Knowles Network, Progressive Radio Network. Stand by. Hello, and thank you so much. Welcome back to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and you can find out more at www.naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And today we have as our guest Dr. Howard Robbins, who is a true leader in ozone therapy and, in a broader sense, something that's called biooxidative therapies. Now, I know that one of the many things you did is open the oxygen station, and that was, you know, very cutting edge in its day, Dr. Robbins.
Well, the oxygen bar business was a very easy thing to do because we were already using oxygen with ozone. We found out that it existed around the world. There was actually, it started in Japan and Tokyo because of the bad air quality there, where people would go up to these telephone-like booths and inside little storefronts and just put a mask to their face and have the clean air, not even oxygen, blown into their face. And then an oxygen bar had opened up in Toronto, and we went in there and we checked it out, and we were up and running. We were on Channel 7 Eyewitness News 1 week for our after we started it with our grand opening, and it took off, and it was exciting. We had a lot of fun with it for a couple years, 3 years actually, and then New York State decided that oxygen, being a medical product since 1856, grandfathered in as a medicine, required that to get oxygen by nose, something that athletes use all the time. They pump it into casinos so that you'll stay awake and not get drunk when they give you all those free drinks, and you'll stay awake to gamble all night. And they're doing it to you without your knowledge. So they're pumping oxygen into that area. It requires a complete physical examination before you can give it to somebody legally. And they closed us down because people weren't going to want to have a complete physical examination and history taken to become a full-blown patient, so to speak. The short form that we had wasn't acceptable, so we had to stop business.
Just terrible. Now, when people come to your clinic, which is right across from Carnegie Hall, and I know that place well because I worked with Dr. Serafina Corsello in that building for about over 20 years, it's a wonderful location, very easy to get to. And what happens when people come to see you there, Dr. Robbins?
Well, it's a very, you know, we have a very small office, and it's a very I like to think of it like more like an old-time country doctor's office in that respect, just modern, you know, very modern looking, and we treat everybody like family. That's the idea. You know, it's you're welcomed. You come in, you fill out a few papers, and then you come in to see me. Now, unlike many doctors, I don't need a whole medical history. I need to know what's wrong with you. What are your symptoms? All your different symptoms. All your different known diagnoses, and what are your current symptoms that you suffer from? Because that's what we're going to fix. We're not going to fix something you don't have anymore. And the good news is we're also going to fix what you don't know. Ozone destroys every virus, every fungus, every yeast, every mold, every toxin, every harmful free radical, every parasite in the body. So you don't have to know everything that's wrong with you or why you have all these different symptoms. Ozone's going to work anyway. Then, if you sit back and listen carefully, I tell you everything you need, have, and want to know. After 22 years, I kind of know what that information is about ozone therapy. And then you get to ask all your questions on anything you're not clear about or I might have left out. And then you sign into what we qualify and have you sign into one of our 29 research studies that keeps New York State off our back. And then you get your first treatment, which actually takes only 1 minute. Intravenous ozone therapy, the way we've perfected it, takes only, it's a 1 to 8, 10 minute treatment with about what I call 10 minutes of recovery while it's working in your body immediately. Then by having met a protein your body makes, glutathione, and by meeting liquid water that's in your blood, during that 10-minute period, actually very rapidly, I mean extremely rapidly beyond people's understanding, it has helped create other chemicals in your body that go on to work, other immune chemicals that will work for hours after the ozone is gone. And this is why it helps in hepatitis B and C and rheumatoid arthritis and all these other conditions, because the beneficial effects on the immune system have been procrastinated and continued by the chemicals that are created from ozone entering the body for several hours thereafter. And then you're in and out of the office, usually within 30 minutes. And unlike many doctors that patients may have gotten used to, particularly in Manhattan, we believe that it's important to honor your appointment time. So our goal is, as you walk through the door or within 15 minutes of your actual appointment time, you're going to be in the treatment room getting your therapy. And we stick to that, I would say, 97% to 99% of the time.
Oh, better than the airlines.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to, because it's a horrible thing. You go to a doctor, you have an appointment, and you have a life to live, and now you have to wait an hour and a half before you even get shown into the room. Then it's another 10-minute, 15, 30-minute wait before the doctor shows up, and, you have to sacrifice half a day to go visit a doctor. Not the way we work.
So it's in and out. They come into Manhattan, and yep. You review the case. And then, now, when somebody comes in for one ozone therapy treatment, is this administered as an intravenous?
Yes, it is. It's an IV push. I give every first therapy to every patient, and so I'm there with you through the. I'm your daddy. I'm there with you through the whole thing, making certain, that you have, no problems that you're. And another important thing, and this is another thing that I that we do for our patients is every patient gets my cell phone number. It's on our welcome to the practice letter. It's on our business card. It's on my answer machine. So if you have a question, a worry, a fear, a concern, and you don't want to annoy me, you'll call me. If you have those questions and concerns and you don't call me, you will annoy me. I'm just the opposite of the way most doctors work. In other words, we try to be very reachable. We never charge for, every time I give the treatment, and I do subsequent treatments several days a week there, as well as out of my home on Long Island in the morning as a courtesy and convenience to the people that live out here. You're getting a one-on-one consultation anytime you need it, and you shouldn't be charged for it. And we don't. We make it that available to people so that, they can get the benefit of our, 22-plus years and 180,000 therapy-plus experience in whatever it is that's concerning them.
So that makes it very, very easy and convenient. And it seems like, a lot of times people have these illnesses for years and there doesn't seem to be any hope at all. I mean, if you're talking about autoimmune disease like fibromyalgia and arthritis. What kind of reports do you get back from patients?
Well, you happened to hit on fibromyalgia, for example, as one of the doctors that we worked with and nurses that we worked with for many years used to call it. She said it was a slam dunk. In other words, ozone just absolutely wins every single time. Chronic fatigue syndrome, candidiasis. Now, I'm a proponent of do everything the easiest, simplest, safest, least costly way possible. So when people get candidiasis, chronic fatigue, these things we just named, try the natural nurse, because what you have may be all they need, and if it works, you don't need me. When you need me is when you meet these resistant cases, the people that, while it works on everybody else, this is the one out of 100, the three out of 100 that just aren't getting anywhere. And then that's where ozone comes in, adds on to the work, all the natural medicines that you might be taking, and you get an even faster result, but more importantly, you get the result that you've been looking for. And I just want to add one more disclaimer.
Please do.
I don't believe it's moral and ethical for any doctor or healthcare practitioner to make a promise or a guarantee to a result. So, and I've been talking very powerfully right now about results, but I want to be clear that even if you've been successful 1,000 times in a row doing something, you never know if you're going to fail on 1,001. And for what reason, you won't know, but it's possible. So it's not fair, moral, or ethical to make those kind of statements outright, and I want every listener to hear that I'm saying that now. Having said that, for the conditions and patients that we accept, we haven't failed yet if you stay with it long enough. So I don't expect failure. I expect only success.
Right, and that's what, you know, that's what you try, but you're saying you can't guarantee everybody's going to be 100% all the time because, like you said, that's just not always in God's plan, let's say. You just aren't sure that's going to happen, but you do see excellent, excellent results a good part of the time.
Oh, all the time. And here's an interesting thing. I'm sure you've experienced this too, Ellen. I get people that'll come up to me, even at this show, they'll come up to me and say, can you give me the names of some patients that you've treated with this and that you've been successful? Nobody ever goes to the conventional doctor and says, you're going to give me an antibiotic Cipro. Can you give me the names of some of your patients who you gave Cipro to see if, you know, let them tell me if it gave them an upset stomach or diarrhea or any other bad reaction or how well it worked for them? They never ask that question to conventional doctors, but they ask it to us whether vitamin C is safe to take.
I know. Guess what? We are actually out of time, Dr. Robbins. I want to thank you so much for such an informative show right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And I do want to give out your contact number one more time. That's 212-581-0101 to get in touch with Dr. Robbins. And, of course, you can always hear this show because now when we're done, it will be archived here on PRN.FM. Just go to shows, Natural Nurse, and you will see Dr. Robbins' show and his contact information, and it will be there for quite a while. So thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you, listeners. Join us next week for another edition on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Until then, stay healthy. Dr. Robbins.